Amen. Well, once again, welcome to OEM. We're delighted that you could join us for Resurrection Sunday today. And you came actually on a pretty good day. We just finished a series, and today we're going to begin a new series, a three-part series called Good News in a Bad News World. And I think we all need some good news these days, because I don't know about you, whenever I watch the news or read the news on the internet, it's filled with a lot of bad stuff going on. And I always thought, watching the evening news, they should really call it bad news. You know, because it's really like, here's the worst things that have happened in the world. Terrorists kidnapped this guy. Earthquake happened here. You know, in the U.S., gunmen shot more people. You know, it's like, here's the worst of the worst in the world today. Have a nice evening, right? I always wondered, you know, why they just call it news. It's like bad news and some sports, right? But while obviously these things are important issues and we do need to be aware of some of these things, I think it's time for us to hear some good news for a change. Amen? So with that, I want to invite you to open your Bibles if you have them. If not, that's all right. We're going to provide the text for you on the screens. But we did provide for you a sermon outline in your handouts, so you could follow along in your handout as well. I provided the verses there for you. But chances are you're going to be familiar with our main text, and that is John 3:16. If you've ever watched football in the NFL, you probably saw this verse. And if you didn't know what it meant, you'll know what it means today. It doesn't mean, God, let my team win today. All right, that's not what the verse is talking about. But it is packed with a lot of good news. It's a short verse, but it's a great verse. It's packed with a lot of great news for people in this world. And the first piece of good news that I want to share for all of us today is that God loves you. That is good news. Can we all repeat that? God loves you. Or actually, since I'm saying that to you, you should probably say, God loves me. All right, so let's all repeat, God loves me. All right, do you believe it? Hopefully. If not, hopefully you will believe it by the end of this, because it's true. Let's look at John 3:16. It begins, for God so loved the world. Okay? Meaning not just the physical world, the earth. He loves the world, meaning everybody in it. You, me, your buddies, your neighbors. God so loved the world. And so one of the first things that we see in this text is that there is a God and he loves you. Can you say that to somebody next to you? Say, there is a God and he loves you. Now, that's good news. And the reason why that's good news today is because every person is longing for love. Right? We're all, every single person that's ever been created, there is an innate need within the human heart to be loved. Now, as we get older, we may harden our hearts and let our hearts grow cold to that need, but every single human being has that need. And to prove that, there have been studies done for different orphanages throughout the world that when they raise young babies and all they do is change their diaper and feed them and that's it, they don't grow as healthy. But the moment that these babies are held and you just simply hold them for a few minutes, the mental, emotional, and overall health of that child increases dramatically. And that reveals that every single human being, you leave a baby alone, it cries because it needs to feel love and security. We're all wired for it. And so that's good news for us because this text in the Bible tells us that there is a God and that God loves you. Amen? That's some good news for us. You know, again, we all long so much to be loved and accepted and especially just as we are. People even daydream about being loved. You know, romantic comedies in the theaters, they're always one of the top attended movies each season. And also, did you know, romance novels, you know, the stuff with, what's that guy with the long hair, you know, ooh, you know, he's like on the cover of like all of them, right? Whatever his name is. They don't just sell because he's on the cover. 180 million romance novels are sold each year. That means five of these books that I wouldn't even touch, okay? Five of these books are sold per second. About 15 just got sold right now, okay? And that's really, you know, people daydream, you know, because they love it. They love entering into this fantasy where this big buff guy with long hair, right, is just, I love you. And it's like, you are so beautiful. You know, it's like, hey, you know, these women who buy these things, hopefully they're all women, right? Hopefully, right? They daydream about being loved and adored and especially unconditionally, you know? And that's a big reason this country of Korea is so popular for its dramas and movies. I don't know if you've ever watched some of them. I mean, they get addictive sometimes. Right? They're really good at cliffhangers, right? But it's always the same story, right? Love triangle, and this honorable guy somehow throws himself to kill himself so that this girl doesn't die, and they're supposed to be together, and all stuff like that, right? But it's a huge, huge hit. Korean dramas, they call it the Korean wave, like this Korean fever that spreads all across Asia. In China, Japan, all throughout Southeast Asia, these dramas, these Korean dramas are hugely, hugely popular. Now, given most of them are watched illegally, you know, they download it somehow and stuff like that, and that's probably how a lot of us have watched them too. But besides that, but what they found is that so many women, Asian women, throughout all these different countries of Asia, they get addicted to this, not just because of story and cliffhangers. They say because they long to have guys who are gentlemen and treat them as treasures, not as property or slaves, especially after marriage. Right? Because we've all experienced that before marriage. And another study has found, you know, I was reading this in a newspaper a little while back, that so many, a trend that's very sad, but it's starting to spread throughout Asia, you know, because in throughout history, Asia has usually been a little bit more conservative for marriages, families, whatever like that. Not anymore. These days, what they found is a lot of Asian women in their 60s, 70s, and even in their 80s. A few months ago, I read a story about there was an 80-year-old lady divorcing her 90-year-old husband. They're getting a divorce, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Why? Because after watching all these Korean dramas, they're like, it's time for me to find somebody that's going to love me. I kid you not. These interviews and all of a sudden these courts that are processing so many of these elderly people getting divorced all of a sudden, that used to be taboo in their culture, as they interview them, that's what these ladies are saying. And so what do they do right after they get a divorce? They fly to Korea. And they do two things. Number one, they go on a sightseeing tour of all these like strategic places where they film their favorite dramas. And the second thing they do, they're trying to find somebody, you know what I'm saying? Right? They're trying to find somebody who will love them the way they always wanted to be loved. Everyone is longing to be loved. But the sad part about it is that so much of this world tells us you need to earn love. You want to be loved? You better earn it. You want to be really adored by guys? You better look like this. You better fit this size dress. You better have this kind of eyes, this kind of hair. This is the kind. You want to be loved? You better earn it. You better work. You better start working out. All right? You better start working out. You know what I'm saying? Because the way you're staying, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Right? That's not the good news of the gospel. Right? The good news, there is a God and he loves you just as you are. Amen? So, but all these people they're longing for, and the world is telling us these lies. If you want love, you better earn it. You better start working out. You better, you guys, get off your, you better earn at least six-digit U.S. salaries. None of this six-digit Korean salaries, all right? Anybody can earn that one, okay? I saw this T-shirt the other day. I'm a millionaire in one, right? And so again, the world is telling us, you earn it. Look the part. Drive the car. Wear the right labels. And it also drives a lot of women to surgery. And again, this is another sad part about the culture of Korea. These days, for Valentine's Day, you know, instead of giving flowers, you know what a lot of girls ask for from their boyfriends? Hey, I want a new nose. Really? And then birthday comes. Hey, what do you want for your birthday? You know, I'd like to get some bigger eyelids, you know. And so the guys do that. And sometimes the guys initiate it. Hey, you know what? For Christmas, you're going to get some new thighs, all right? You know, we laugh, but I feel that's a tragedy that's sweeping across this nation. And the reason why is because this world lies to us and tells us, if you want to be loved, and we all want love, we all need love. You want to be loved? You better look the part. You better make the dough. You better drive the car. You better wear the clothes. And so it leaves us cold because the world is a pretty cold place. And so often we feel worthless. And maybe some of our parents, we grew up that way. Our parents were, of all the people in the world that should lavish us with unconditional love, sadly for a lot of people, it's the parents that taught us, man, I'm not worthy of love. You idiot, you dummy. Nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to want to marry you. And the mere words of me saying those things right now is bringing an echo of some of your upbringings with your parents. So we feel worthless, unworthy of love. But the good news of the gospel today, and the reason why I'm so glad you're here, is because I believe God has a message for you. And that first message is that there is a God, and he loves you. He loves you just as you are. There is a God who created all things, and the Bible tells us that he made man and women. He created them in his image. You were made in the image, in the likeness of God. And because you were made in the image of Almighty, wonderful God, that gives you value. That gives you your worth. Because of that, your value never changes. Amen. Your value never changes. You know, it's kind of like this. If I were to take out, you know, 10,001, you know, it used to be worth more, you know, but these days, not that much, but still. You know, it's like if I were to crumple it up, you know, throw it on the ground, step on it. Anybody who still want it? Why? It's dirty. I stepped on it. It's like, it's garbage. I declare this is worth nothing. Anybody still want it? Well, everybody still wants it? Okay. And if I would have, why? It's dirty. It's filthy. It's worthless. You still want it because you know it contains an innate value that doesn't change no matter what I do to it. And in the same way, God has made you, and he has made you in his image. And because of that, there is a value to your life, to your soul, that when God sees you, no matter what the world says, no matter what your parents have called you, no matter how many horrible things you have heard about your life, no matter how many jerks you have dated or even been married to, no matter what they have said to you, there is a value to you that God cherishes. There is a God. He created you. He created you in his image, and he loves you. Amen? That no one can take away. It says, for God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave. So everyone say, he gave. Right now, this is kind of a cool thing, right? Because one of the cool things about God, it says that God is love. That if we love him, it's because he first loved us. So God is a loving God. God is love. He's not God has love. God is love. And that's pretty cool. And one of the things that we learn from God, but also from the human heart, is that when we love something or someone, love gives. You know, love is very giving towards the object of our affection. You know, I know people, they love their dogs, and they buy like fur coats, and they buy this dog house that's worth like $50,000, and when they go on vacation and can't take the dog, they put them up in the dog hotel, I'm not joking, at like $200 a night. I'm sorry. I love dogs. I'm never going to pay $200 a night for somebody to take care of my dog, right? But you see, when we love something or someone, it's quite natural that we give. It says God loved the world. God loves you, so he gave. Right? And so what we see is that one thing about love, it is always giving. And I learned that about my heart as well. You know, when I first started dating my wife several years back, you know, when we first met and, you know, we decided we'll kind of go on a, hey, let's meet up, a.k.a. date, right? It's a safer way, right? Hey, you want to meet up for coffee versus do you want to go on a date, right? Much safer, right? Much safer. Hey, you want to meet up sometime? Coffee, dinner, movie, right? So when we were doing that, when I first met her, you know, obviously I was attracted to her. She was beautiful. She's the most beautiful girl in the world and still is today. And so when we first started dating, I'm going to eat really well tonight. No. So when we first started dating, you know, it's like I would talk and I'd buy her a meal, and then as I started liking her more, I wanted to give her a better meal, so we went to an even better restaurant, and then I found out she loves reading, and I found out which authors she liked, and then I would buy her books, and then I bought her chocolate, and then I found out she doesn't really like chocolate because she might get fat, but I still bought her chocolate because I like chocolate, and so if you don't want to eat it, I'll eat it, and so that was a good relationship that way. And then there's one time I was driving, and we met in Korea, and so I was driving down the road, and I see, you know, it was in Korea, and, you know, there was like this one truck that had all these stuffed animals, and it caught my eye, and I was like, oh, I want to buy her a stuffed animal. And, you know, I just pull over, because, you know, in Korea, you could park anywhere, and so I just stopped the car, like literally in the middle of the street, right? And so I just kind of go over, and I'm like looking at all these stuffed animals, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that's cute. But then he had this huge one at the side of the road, like this huge puppy. I was like, literally it was this big. And so I was like, oh, I want her to know that I love her. So I was like, I'll take that one, right? And I had a really puny car back then. It was hard to get that thing in my car. And I was like, and then I couldn't really surprise her with it. You know what I mean? It's like I pick her up, and then it's like hey, I'm over here, hey. So what's a surprise, right? I couldn't really do that, right? I felt kind of bad when I heard, you know, she was doing her master's when I met her, and then when she finished her degree, she had to fly back to Seoul. She shipped everything except that big puppy. She had to fly, and she had to kick somebody out of the next seat because I'm so sorry. You know, it's for my little niece, you know. And then later, you know, it's like you buy her, you know. So again, love wants to give. Right? And I gave a lot because it represented my love. I want to say, you know what, I love you a lot. And so I kept giving a lot. But the other thing that I learned is that not only when we love someone, not only do we want to give gifts, we want to give them messages of love. That's just a cooler way of saying love letters, right? I didn't want to say love letter, you know, because I'm cool, right? Anyway, so we want to give them messages of love. And this will be a little bit dating me. But when I first met my wife, one of the first forms of communications besides email that we did was ICQ. Anybody remember that? This is like the prehistoric version of MSN Messenger, right? This is like back in the day, really back in the day, all right? Anyway, all right, so, you know, it's like I would like see her on ICQ, and then we'd send messages and email, and I'd write her letters and stuff. And one of the things that I realized is that, you know, about giving messages of love, is that we're always looking for a response. You know, especially the first time you say, I love you, right? You're kind of expecting something back, you know? Because you could give gifts. You know, I never really, you know, expected anything in terms of, you know, my wife or girlfriend at the time to give me anything when I gave her something. It's like, no big deal. You know, you could leave flowers at the door, run away, whatever. You know, you could leave this huge stuffed animal and you could still stand there and she still won't see you, right? But, right, whatever. So you could do all these things. You could get gifts and it's no big deal. Hey, here's an expression of my love. And then that's it. But, words, when you say, I love you, you usually are expecting I love you back. Usually, right? Most of the time. Actually, all the time, right? For example, okay, let's say you're seeing someone, you're dating, and then you really, really love this person, and you want to say that on the phone. So you call her, hey, what's going on? Like, oh, you know, I've been really tired, work's been really, oh, really? Oh, and then she, oh, but I'm so glad you called. Oh, me too. You know, I've been really looking forward to talking to you, see how your day was. Small talk here and there, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like getting nervous, right? You're replaying everything. Yeah, and so, you know, I just called, you know, to say, I love you. Hello? 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 Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Oh, okay, I thought we got disconnected. No, no, I'm here. Oh, okay, yeah, so you had a good day? I'm really tired. I'm probably going to be sleeping soon. Oh, yeah, yeah, hope you have a good night. Oh, by the way, you know, just in case, I think I might have got disconnected, you know, I just called, you know, to say, I love you. Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm here. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Have a good night. Okay, good night. Whoa, awkward, right? When do I try that one again, right? And so let's say you're really not that bright. I'll wait until I see her next time to make sure she heard it. And so you guys meet up, right? So you guys meet up, going on a date, and all of a sudden it was a really nice date, and you know, you guys are in the car, and she's about to go to her place, and so once again, hey, I'm not calling this time, but, you know, I just wanted to say I love you. Hey, so, yeah, did you enjoy the dinner? Oh, yeah, it was great. Oh, I loved it. That was my favorite restaurant. Yeah, yeah, I knew it. That's why I took you there, you know. I knew it. So, yeah, you know, I love U2, you know. U2's my favorite band, you know. Did you hear about, they just got a new album out? Oh, my goodness, man. The first time I listened to it, it wasn't that great, but when you keep listening to it, it is awesome. I just love U2. Do you love me? I mean, you know, you, me, you too? No, I'm not really into you too. That's cool. Yeah, Coldplay's cool too. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it, right? Awkward. I could tell by you guys have all been there, right? You've felt it, right? And one of the things we realized very quickly is that to not respond to a message of love is the same thing as rejecting it. That's one of the peculiar things about love messages. You know, because somebody says, hey, how you doing? Sorry, man, I'm busy, right? That's no big deal, right? Okay, who's busy? Hey, what did you have for dinner? Oh, dude, busy studying, no big deal. Greetings, doesn't get responded, that's no big deal. Love, if it doesn't get responded to, it's the same thing as rejection. You know, I've actually experienced this, you know, like our brother Herman, praise leader, you know, it's like, let's say, you know, he like likes somebody, and if he were to say, I love you, and the moment he says it, she goes, I love your guitar. That is awesome guitar. See ya. He just got burned, right? That is called rejection, okay? Just in case. And if you guys really need healing from that, Herman has a lot of experience in that, so you guys can come to him for... I love this guy. I love you, man. See? No response means rejection. Living proof. This is just an example, right? I love you. He did this to me, man. When it's not reciprocated. See, so we learn. Love communicated is meant to be reciprocated. Otherwise, it is seen as rejection. And the thing is this. There is a God who created all things and created us in his image, and that God loves you, and he communicated that love through an awesome love letter called the Bible. And in this love letter are pages and pages where the heart of God is being displayed and saying, I love you. I love you. And this day, the reason why we're so happy on this day and celebrate Easter as Christians, because we came to understand fully the love of God on this day. Because it is on this day, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died on the cross. And he said, as he was stretching out his hands, he says, I love you this much. And then he died for you. So it is clear that we see that God has proclaimed over your life the words over and over, I love you. Maybe you didn't understand it in that way. Maybe you didn't really hear it in that way before. But it is clear throughout the Bible that there is a God and he loves you. But the question that I want you to ponder for a few moments is, because God expressed his love for you, what is your response? Have you ever responded? No response actually is a response. So as we ponder that, let's move on here. So we realize God loves you. And because God loves you, again, he gives. But what did he give? It says, God gave his son for you. So everybody repeat, God gave his son. Right, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Right, he loves you so much that he gave his son, his only son. You see, the ultimate gift we can give someone, as in marriage, is ourself. It's all that we are. Our whole life, our whole being. And why did Jesus have to come? Why did God give his son? Why did Jesus have to come? Number one, Jesus came to save us from our sins. All right? So he came to save us from our sins. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:15. Let's actually read that together. If you could find it in your outlines. Ready, begin? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That is the Apostle Paul talking. So we see that he came to save us from sins. Now, what is sin? Sin isn't just when you steal candy or you take cookie from the cookie jar when you weren't supposed to, when you were little. Right? It's not just trivial, small, little white lies, as we like to call them, or whatever. It's more like a disease. It's not more than an action. It's a disease. It's a state of being that you can't just remove. Right? The Bible tells us that we are sinners from conception, from birth. We are sinners. We are sinners in our character, our how we think, our motives of our hearts, and also we are sinners by our conduct, the things that we do and the things that we don't do. And because it's the disease, it needs to be remedied. Okay? There needs to be a remedy. Now, why is that so bad? Why is sin so bad? Well, first of all, it's the reason hell exists. Right? Romans 6:23 tells us that for the wages of sin is death. Right? So because of our sin, because of this condition that we have called sin, that sin deserves death. Wages, what we earn or deserve because of our sin, is death. Eternal hell, condemnation, separation from God. And so because God loves us, he gave his son to take care of that sin so that we might be forgiven of that sin. Now, one of the things that I learned when I was young was by this preacher who tried to, you know, I think I was like in junior high. I went to this church camp or something. And this preacher was trying to just, you know, because I was in junior high, we had a high school, it was junior high school camp, and you know, we were like all punks, right? So the whole goal of this speaker was, I just want these punks not to be punks, right? So I'm going to make sure that they understand that they're sinners, right? That was his goal. And so I still remember this story that he told, and he told it like this, right? He said, so let's pretend you guys are part of that retreat. This is what he did. Hey, let's pretend that all of you guys, you know, I want you to understand something about the Bible, okay? Did you know that every single one of you has a guardian angel that's next to you, and that's with you all the time? And so we're like, oh, you know, me and my friend, oh, that's cool. Guardian angel, how you doing? Right? That's cool. And then he goes, oh, no, but that's not it. This guardian angel also has a super high-tech, heavenly, digital, more than, better than high-def, even three-dimensional, everything, video camera. And what this angel does is he follows you your whole life. And he records everything. And so then me and my friends are like, ooh, okay. Well, you can take a break whenever you want, you know? So we're like, okay. But then he goes, oh, but you know what? Something about this video camera, it doesn't just record everything that you do. It also records, because it's like this heavenly, high-tech, super HD thing, it can not only record your actions, it can also record your thoughts, your heart motives, everything you ever thought, everything you ever felt. every lustful thought, every anger, every thing that you thought about somebody behind their back, you're like, hey, yeah, I love you too, bro, jerk, right? Every single thing. It records that. And so then, you know, eventually we're like, ooh, this is getting kind of weird. And so then he's like, oh, and by the way, the Bible tells us that, you know, there's going to come a judgment day. And then we're going to all stand before God. And, you know, we'll be seated. And, you know, maybe it'll be something like this. And every single person that's ever existed, all the billions upon billions of people who have ever existed are going to be seated in this. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to be sitting down and we're going to be meeting up with a lot of old friends and family. Hey, how you doing? Let's sit together. Let's watch this movie together. And so you're sitting down and your angels are passing around popcorn. It's just like theater popcorn, and except there's, you know, you're not going to gain any weight because, you know, this is like heavenly popcorn. It's really good. So you're like eating it, enjoying it, and the lights grow dim, and suddenly they show, you know, a film. You guys are all laughing. They show this funny-looking baby. You're like laughing until you realize that's you. Ooh, right? And then the speaker went on to say, there will come a judgment day where every single thing that you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, everything you ever felt will be displayed for all the world to see. And then he ended there. And so me and my friends like, oh my goodness, don't think anything. Oh my goodness, don't think, don't say, don't talk to me, don't, nothing. Do not picture anything right now. You know, it's like, and he just left it there. So he's like, okay, don't sin. I'm like, oh, okay, oh my goodness. But I realized, you know what, someone was kind of messed up about that. Some things were true. You know, there will be a judgment day, the Bible does talk about that, where all of us will be called into account of every action we've done, and all that stuff is true. But one very important thing that he left out, I'm so glad I discovered it eventually, is this. A cool thing happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ. A really, really cool thing happens when you surrender and say, you know what, I'm a sinner, I'm messed up, but you know, I'm going to surrender my life, my sins to God. A cool thing happens, and that is this. The moment you surrender your life to God, God does call that angel that records everything in your life, and he asks for the tape. Angel gives to him. The moment we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, God takes that tape, DVD, HD, whatever, right? And he dips it into the blood of Jesus Christ. And when it comes back out, and we stand before God, and we stand before all of creation, all of human history, and we stand before God, and God does pop in that life story of us, a cool, cool thing happens. And that is every single sin that we have ever committed in thought, word, deed has been washed away forever. Amen. That's the good news, people. That is the good news of the gospel. Is that Jesus Christ, why did Jesus come? Because he knew if we tried to stand on our own on judgment day, we're gone. We're going to be ashamed. We're going to be gone. He knew we couldn't handle it. And so he sent his son to wipe away our sins. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. He has a really amazing power. It's kind of like God's washing machine. You know, it's like we give him our filthy, dirty, sin-soiled rags. He washes it in the red, crimson blood of Jesus Christ, and it comes out whiter than snow. Amen. That is our amazing God. What an awesome God. And that is why we celebrate this day. That is why Christians celebrate this day. And that is why I got a smile on my face, because I know when I die, I get to stand before God, and what he's going to declare over me and all others who have trusted in him is forgiven, clean, my child, my family, welcome home. Amen? And I hope and pray that those are the words that you will hear. No more guilt, no more shame. Because it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt, no more shame, no more sin, no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at John 3:17 in your outlines. Jesus came to take our sins. Again, it is because of love. That is why he came. John 3:17 says, For God did not send his love, send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. All right? So a lot of people think, you know, they get turned off by church or Christians or God because you usually see a lot of street preachers like, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. I was like, gee, I really want to join your religion, right? I get turned off by the Tuesday. I'm like, dude, come on, right? I mean, that's not the primary reason why he sent Jesus. It wasn't to point the finger, you sinner, you hell-bound person, whatever. It says clearly here in the Bible, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him. Save us from our sins. Amen? And not only did Jesus come to save us from our sins, but also Jesus came to purchase a place in heaven for us. Revelation 5:9. Let's read that together, shall we? Ready to begin? They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And in your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. This is your blood. Through your blood you purchased us and our place in heaven. So Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross to take away our sins, but also to purchase a place in heaven for us. Now, did you ever wonder, I actually wondered one time, why, how is it that one person's death, right, the death of Jesus, this one guy, kind of pay the penalty and bring forgiveness for billions of people, right? I used to think, I mean, don't you need like billions of sacrifices to take care of billions of people? But, you know, as I was reflecting upon this, my times when I was in high school and collecting baseball, football cards kind of dawned on me. You know, I used to collect a lot of stuff. And let's say, you know, I used to trade a lot. I used to, with my friends, we used to trade cards. Let's say you saw me do this. And I have my buddy here, and, hey, you know, I'll give you 500 of these cards. You see me give it to him. And then he gives me one card. And so you might be looking at that, that seems a little bit unfair. Right? I just gave away 500 cards and I just got one back. Now, I either got ripped off, okay, or it highlights the immense value of that one card. And how is it that the one death of Jesus Christ can bring forgiveness for billions of people throughout history? It is because it is emphasizing the immense, infinite value of who Jesus Christ is. That the value of his blood is more precious than gold. To purchase for himself people from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world. Amen? That is our God. So we see that God loves you, right? That is why he sent his son, that our sins might be atoned for, that God can take care of our sins. That was the most wonderful, valuable thing God could have ever done. Give us the greatest person, Jesus Christ. And we see this principle in Romans 5:17, also in your outlines. It says, for if by the trespass or the sin of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. Giving Jesus Christ was the most loving, kind, gracious, and generous thing God could have ever done. And it is because he loves you that he would rather die than to live without you. That is our God. That is our wonderful God. He would rather die. He would rather be crucified, have nails pierced through his wrist and his feet. He would rather suffer unjustly. Not because he was a sinner, because we were a sinner. He did that because he loved you. He says, I love you this much. I don't want to spend eternity without you. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure your sins get forgiven. Amen. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. And so we see that God loves you, and because he loves you, he gave you his son. And through his son, Jesus Christ, God offers eternal life. So everybody repeat, God offers eternal life. Okay, John 3:16 once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. You won't die. And it's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death here. You won't perish in hell. You shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. God is offering you a place, but he is also offering you a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Yes, eternal life is a place. It is a place where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more shame, no more sickness, no more regrets forever. No violence, no bigotry. But more than a place, eternal life is a person. We get to spend eternal life with the most wonderful, generous, kind, merciful, gracious person in all the world. He is love. St. Augustine said this, God himself, who is the author of virtue, shall be our reward, as there is nothing greater or better than God himself. God has promised us himself. God shall be the end of all of our desires. Who will be seen without end, loved without cloy, and praised without weariness. It is the beginning of the greatest relationship and friendship you could ever know with the greatest person in all the world, Jesus Christ. So we see that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you, and that through his son he offers you the gift of eternal life with him. Now the big question is this, okay? The big question is, how do we receive this gift? Because this is a principle you need to understand. Because though God is offering it, God is offering it, even today and throughout your life, he has been offering you this awesome gift of eternal life. You need to understand this principle that all gifts must be received. Otherwise, it's not yours. I could offer you, I say, hey, here's this awesome present. Take it, take it, take it. You never take it, it's not yours. Let me try to do some mending with Herman a little bit. I want to ask Herman if you could come up here. I love you, man! Say, Herman, you know, so I know you're, you know, I love you, right? But let's say, you know, hey, Herman, I want to give you this money. You know, I know you could use some new clothes and so, you know, stuff like that, so... I just want to say, Herman, you know, it's like, here's a gift. Here's, you know, but here you go. Yeah, here you go. You see, even though I offer it, this, on my side, it's yours, Herman. You take, it's yours. I could offer it to him. But if he never takes it, it's never his. And in a similar way, God is offering eternal life to all of us. It's not yours unless you take it. But the moment you take it, okay, take it, then it becomes yours. All right? It's okay. I know where he lives. See, all gifts, though offered, must be received for it to be yours. God is offering you the gift of life. How do we receive it? We receive when we believe. Okay. So everybody repeat. We receive when we believe. It says, let's look at John 3:16 once again. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever what? Believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:18, let's read that together. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. All right, so whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned because he's not believed. Now, I want to explain what this believe means, okay? Because some of you might be like this. Oh, is that all? Just believe? Eddie. I believe everything you said today. Hey, I haven't been to church in several years, but you know what? I grew up, my parents took me when I was little. I heard that story. I believe there's a God. I'm no atheist. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I heard about that. I believe that he rose again. You know, it seems like not too, okay, yeah, if he's God, then I guess he could do that. I believe everything you said was true. So I guess I'm safe. I guess I'm secure. Not necessarily. Let's look at James 2:19. Provided you for that in the outline. It said, You believe that there's one God. Good. So James is having a similar conversation right now. He's saying, you know what? You believe there's only one God? Good. That's awesome. You believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, that he's the truth, he's the life? Good. That's awesome. That's great. That's so wonderful. You believe that Jesus Christ lived, was born, perfect man. He lived, died on the cross, all this stuff, that everything that he said to you believe that's true? Good. That's awesome. Then what did he say? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So, if you believe there's only one God, you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, he came on earth, he died on the cross, he rose again from the dead for our sins, if you believe that, that is awesome. I want to congratulate you because you have the same faith as Satan. You are on the exact same faith level as Satan and the demons. Because Satan believes it probably more than us. You know why? Because he was there. He knows Jesus is God, without a doubt. He knows Jesus rose from the dead, without a doubt. He knows the gospel is truth. He knows that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He knows that. He's not going to heaven. So that means this believe must mean something else. Because one of the things you need to realize is that when Jesus was saying, you know, believe in me and you'll have eternal life and stuff, he was physically there saying it to physical people. It'd be like, you know, if I were Jesus and these were the disciples, he would say, you know, believe in me and you shall have eternal life. Is he saying, believe that I'm not a hologram, believe that I'm not a figment of your imagination, that I'm a real man talking to you right now, you're going to be saved. Did he say that? If I were to say that to you right now, if I were to ask you, do you believe in me? What am I asking? Am I a hologram? I'm asking, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And for us, the moment that we stop trusting ourselves, the moment we stop trusting in our good works to get us into heaven, the moment we stop trusting in anything that we can do or have done, and we trust in Jesus Christ alone, that's when you believe. And that's when you receive. Amen. So there are two important things I'd like for you to do and consider today. So if you're taking notes, you could jot this down. Two thoughts that I want to leave you with today. Number one is this. Okay, so we've talked about, God has clearly said, I love you. He has clearly stated, again, through the Bible, this love letter, through the cross, I love you. The question I want you to write down and ponder is, what is my response to his love? What is it? Because to do nothing is to reject it. Number two, the second question I want you to consider and ponder is this. Have you ever received this gift, this free, amazing, awesome, priceless gift of eternal life? Have you ever received what God has offered through his Son? You see, again, it is important to respond. The reason why I'm asking you to think about how you respond and have you received, because it is important to respond to this love message and receive this gift, because to do nothing is to reject it. And the reason why I'm pleading with you now, because eternity is at stake for you guys, all right? And you need to understand this. Heaven is not the default destination for human souls. Okay? Heaven is not the default destination for souls. A lot of people think, you know, it's like, as long as I do more good things than bad, as long as I don't kill anybody, yeah, everybody goes to heaven, don't they? No. Look at what he says in John 3:18 once again. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed or not trusted in the name of God's one and only Son. To not respond, to not believe, means you have not received this free gift. So what is your response to his love for you today. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer right now. And I want you to really think about these two questions. What is your response to God's message of love to you, to your life? And the second thing I want you to think, have you ever received this gift? It is yours for the taking. It is worth it, people. For me, it's a no-brainer. Trade my sin for forgiveness. Trade hell for heaven. No-brainer. If you have never responded to God's love, nor received his free gift of eternal life, I believe today is your lucky day. And I believe there is a reason why God brought you here. He loves you, and he'd rather die than to live without you. If you have never responded to God's I love you message and want to respond with a God, I love you too, I want to invite you to place your hand over your heart today. Say in your heart of hearts, say, God, I love you too. Second thing, if you have never received this priceless, awesome, free gift of eternal life and would like to do that now, place your hand over your heart and tell God, God, I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to place my heart, my life, my trust fully in Jesus Christ today. If that is you, place your hand over your heart and surrender that heart and say, I want to receive it. God, I'm going to take it. I'm going to reach out my life, my hands through this act right now. And I'm going to take that awesome gift and trade my hell for your heaven. Trade my sin for your forgiveness. And praise God, there are a lot of hands being surrendered to Jesus Christ. So let us pray right now. And if that is your choice for today, if that is the choice that you'd like to make, I'd like to guide all of us in this prayer. So if we could all just repeat this prayer. Can we all say it out loud after me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, my precious God, I thank you so much for your patient love for me. I confess that I am a sinner and that I have sinned. But from today, I believe and I trust in Jesus Christ, who died for me and washed away my sins. I place my heart and my life and my trust in Jesus Christ alone. I receive you, Jesus, today as my Savior and Lord. I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart and make me new today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for new life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And I really believe through this, many of you, as you guys made that commitment and prayer and step of faith and trust today for the first time, the Bible tells us that anytime just even one person repents, and repentance just means turning in a different direction, that we turn in the direction of God, God throws a party in heaven. The angels rejoice. And I believe that there's a lot of rejoicing going on because your name from this day was written in God's book of life. And when you stand before God on judgment day, you don't have to fear. If you place your heart's trust in him, he's going to hug you. He's going to welcome you and say, welcome home. Amen? Now that is good news.